And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp. It's my co-host, Dangerous Danny Ford. little 80s wrestling.
An homage to Mr. And Danny Davis. Which Danny Davis was that?
It was not the OVW one. It was the referee.
Okay.
My favorite gimmick. I wasn't a kid, but like when I would watch tapes of that, I like loved the idea of like Danny Davis. Like this little skinny, cheating heel ref who had to become a wrestler. And he just gets beat up a lot. Like, they need to bring that back. We need more heels who just get the shit beat out of them all the time. Who, like, you actually hate.
The Miz is going to be so mad at you for...
But, like, no, because the Miz, like, I like. I mean, like, Danny Davis is just, like, a jobber. Who, like, wins a match every once in a while. Like, the Miz should always be IC champion. Until he dies.
Bury the belt in his...
There's no reason for him... Because he's the perfect IC. He's just perfect for it. Like, why would you have anyone else hold that title? He's not the Miz.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's perfectly slotted. Like, you don't want to give it to, like, Finn Balor because that just makes him a geek or whatever. Miz
Finn
is perfect.
Balor is much better at pro wrestling than the Mizard, sir.
No, but no, what I mean, though, is, like, Finn Balor is winning the IC title, then he's a joke. That he never
ain't fair.
Can be what his potential is.
I would say that WWE needs more babyface champions. Like, never-ending...
I don't mind the Miz there.
Never-ending heel
championships. Here's the beauty with the Miz.
I think that shit's played out.
Here's the beauty with the Miz, Dan. You can have, like, a feud with him. They can challenge. They can lose to him. It doesn't matter because he cheats or whatever. Then they don't get stuck with that stupid IC title belt, which is, like, the geek fact.
I mean, it's only a geek belt because they only put it on geeks. If they put it on good guys, it wouldn't be a geek belt anymore.
They put it on Roman. It's still a...
Roman's a geek.
It's just a joke. Like, why give it to anyone? Why waste it?
Well, just get rid of all of it.
Well, we did that. And people online get mad.
Yeah, fuck them.
We could do that. Speaking of people getting mad online, Dan. let's jump to our first. Not that one, though. Because we're talking about other people getting mad. Talking Blake Griffin traded to the Pistons from the Clippers.
Clipper for life.
Some Pistons fans. Yeah. Clipper for life. I hear that's kind of overblown. That's more like Blake's camp reminding people about that than it was like a really big deal, because also that was back before the Lawrence Frank, Jerry West consortium or whatever kind of took over the front office. So they didn't promise Blake crap. That was Doc Rivers. And he was still talking to Phoenix. It's not like he was, you know, Mr. Clipper. He probably would have gone to Phoenix if he didn't get the fifth year. So there's that. And honestly, I think it was a good move for everybody, though. I think everyone's going to get what they wanted from this trade. The Clippers get cap space. They get to kind of eye 2019 when you have some of those fun free agents coming on, you know. And the Pistons get a superstar that they couldn't get through free agency or drafting at this point with this regime. So I think it's a rare win-win. I'm not sure anyone wins a title from this trade, but I think it's a win-win. Solid B.
I agree because... Ultimately, okay, are the Clippers ever going to win anything with Blake? No. Not with him making
that
money.
When they got rid of Chris Paul, it was all over.
Yeah. Like,
and they had to, because Chris Paul didn't like Griffin. Whatever. It wasn't going to work. It was time to
like,
turn the page.
As soon as Chris Paul was basically like, I'm not waiting around for you to figure this mess out. Like, the Clippers completely screwed up their cap situation to the point where they weren't in a position where they would be able to add a third. Because the reality is they all should have let, like,
yeah,
instead of, like, camping out at DeAndre Jordan's house to keep him from going to the Mavs, they should have let him fucking walk. Because DeAndre Jordan can't be your third best player.
Yeah, and you probably would have found another big who can play decent defense or get someone through a trade or whatever. Plus, if he went to Dallas probably would have been better off if DeAndre went there. They probably would have been competitive the last 2 or 3 years. More than they are now, for sure.
Yeah. But basically, you know, You look at that team and you look at the position they're in and you just sort of go, this isn't working. We're better off going in a different direction, and we need cap. Like, no team is going to win anything with Blake Griffin making that much money. I'm sorry, you're not, because he's not that kind of player.
Especially if he's your best player.
Like, Blake Griffin is
not like
got to be your second best player.
Yeah, and that's the other issue with Griffin. You can't really get a free agent there, that extra cap room with Griffin there. And you can't really draft anybody because Griffin's good enough to keep you picking around 15 if you don't make the playoffs. So you're in a situation where you're not going to win if you're the Clippers. And you got to look over, you know, across the town at the Lakers. I mean, not you know, the next door over, I guess. You look at the Lakers, and it's like, well, maybe they're getting this shit together. Maybe it's time for the Clippers to figure this out.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I mean, maybe they're not, but that might be the perception the Clippers have.
Though. I don't know. I would rather – I think any team run by Magic Johnson ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. But also, interesting with the Clippers was they weren't just satisfied to be a team that maybe – you know, because they kept everything together, even without Chris Paul. They'd probably be a 5-6 seed most years going forward. And they said, well, we don't really want that. We want to, you know, take the next step, be an elite franchise. That's why you go out and hire all these guys in your front office right now. I mean, you've got Jerry West, more of a wisdom tree, as I like to call it, kind of role, where he just kind of, you know, espouses wisdom. You've got Lawrence Frank, who's a very successful NBA mind. I think they went and hired guys from, like, the Celtics. You had a guy who worked under Phil at the Knicks, which may not sound that good, but it's always – you're probably not hurt, even if Phil's bad, learning something from Phil Jackson, you know, if you work under him. So they went and got a bunch of smart minds around there. This is the decision they made. They kind of just kind of blow it up low-key, and I kind of like it what the Clippers are doing here. We'll talk about more about how this is going to help the Pistons, but let's focus a little bit more now on the Clippers, Dan. So, I mean, and you get a decent haul. You get Tobias Harris, who's a starter. Contract ends in 2 years. And you get that pick, which is, probably going to be like, what, maybe 15, 16, 17 pick?
Yeah.
So maybe you find something there. Maybe you get lucky in the draft. And you still can trade DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams and get more draft picks. So,
I
really like it for the
Clippers. Especially when you have, like, Jerry West obviously is not going to be a guy who's going to be making a ton of big moves for you at this stage of his life. Because obviously, like, I think we talked off there, like, Jerry West comes into the office like 3 times a week.
Yeah.
But when it comes time, it comes time for, like, drafting. Yeah, you got Jerry West. He knows what a great, like, he's got a pretty good track record when it comes to identifying
the thing
talent.
Is, Jerry West isn't, like, running the show there. Lawrence Frank is, but you get to pick his mind, and that's the best thing you can do. That's a smart move to get a guy like Jerry West. Not give him a ton of power, but you're able to pick his mind and get what he can get. Because he's probably at the point, too, where he wants to leave more of a legacy in the NBA at this point.
What more legacy does he really need to leave?
It's a little bit. It's Jerry West. He's the greatest figure in NBA history. You think about it.
As far as like naming anybody who had a bigger impact on the NBA, like a one single person, I don't think anybody's bigger than Jerry West.
No,
because of his day, he was probably the most famous star player in the league. Yes, I know he wasn't the kind of player that like Wilt Chamberlain was a better player. Bill Russell was a better player, but Jerry West was the star of his era. And, the fucking logo. I mean, he's the logo. Like, he's literally the logo.
He'll always be the logo.
Like, yeah. 50 years from now, Jerry West's silhouette will still be the logo of the NBA.
Yeah, but it's not only that.
But then after that, you have that career building the Showtime Lakers, building the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, you know.
Turned Memphis from a joke franchise to one that takes itself like, a little more seriously.
Yeah, one of the architects behind Memphis is
helped out with gold. You know, maybe he gets too much credit because he's also willing to talk to the media.
He's always worked the media.
State, which is that's part of it. But he also helped in Golden State. You can't say that he didn't benefit. You know,
he was part.
Picking his brain didn't benefit what's going on in Golden State. He's a guy who's proven he can adapt with the NBA, I think, as it's changed through the years. If you think of most influential in the NBA, probably number one.
I think the biggest thing about
even
Jerry
above Jordan
is that he's comfortable not being the only guy in control. He's comfortable with, okay, this guy over here is going to know all the ins and outs of where the cap is in modern NBA.
Do you think some of that's just being like a point guard and just knowing?
Well, he wasn't
like,
a point guard. He was a two guard.
Oh, that's right. Well, there goes my analogy with the point guard knowing when to distribute. I always thought Jerry West was
a two guard.
Life. Huh. That's what I get for not watching more NBA hardwood classics, I guess.
If you looked up like his height and weight, you would assume he's a point guard. But that's back. But it's like the '60s when like being 6'4". Yeah.
How much of that is like, but more kind of a basketball mindset? You don't have to be a point guard to think that way. I can do what I do well, but sometimes, big dogs got to eat, Or sometimes I got to throw it out to my man, in the corner for a three. I think some of that is that basketball mindset, and that's why you tend to see, that's why there's no Jerry West in the NFL, necessarily. Maybe Parcells, but not really.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody really like Jerry West, though, in any sport.
Yeah.
Like, a guy who was like a Hall of Fame player who then became a Hall of Fame, you know, front office person.
Yeah.
I mean,
and like Bill.
Can you even think of a Hall of Fame player who became a great coach?
Unless it's our boy Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. I don't know.
I mean, if we're counting college, then it's Steve Spurrier. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's college. I mean, it's just, he is a singular figure.
About, Phil Jackson was like a Hall of Fame player.
Nah, he was a role player. He was like a seventh man on that team. He just thought, like, that Knicks team is just one of those.
Rudy Tomjanovich?
I don't know enough about Rudy's. I mean, all I know about Rudy's NBA career is that his face got exploded by Kermit Washington.
That's Hall of Fame to me. I think, like, Zach Lowe talks about wanting to make, like, an NBA Oddities Wing. The Hall of Fame. I think if you do that, you got to put in a picture of Kermit Washington.
I think if the NBA would rather have every single copy of that shot destroyed, I don't think they would want that.
It'd be in our NBA Hall of Fame. When we make our sports Hall of Fame, that's going in.
I agree.
Right up there with like WNBA lesbian kiss cam.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that was a big thing. Like, what's like the Washington Mystics or something?
God, you better
that's
hope.
Like one of their...
You better hope that you've zeroed in on the right couple and that you aren't just like hovering over two friends.
That's what I was thinking. Like, how do you know? But I think it was just like Sundays were like a big day. All the lesbians went, and obviously, like women's sports, you're gonna have a bigger.
The NBA, like in general, that's the fanhood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think with most, I mean, if you look at the stats, Dan, most women's sports tend to hire a higher proportion of lesbian fans. Than, you know, the men's sports do.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no. I think higher than you have, like, gay men watching sports. I think lesbian women tend to watch more sports than gay men.
Well, I mean...
If you look at my stats, I probably read, like, 10 years ago. That's great. Anyway, though, yeah, the Wizards used to do that, but it's probably not as hot as you would
guess. I mean, has a kiss cam ever been hot for anybody?
No. I love watching that. People hate the kiss cam. I like it. It's fun.
I mean, now if you think it's funny, great. But I don't see anything sexy about the kiss cam.
No, maybe not. Some people hate the kiss cam though, because like you know, in the new NBA League Pass, they show the arena cam feed, so like you get to see the kiss cam and all the dumb stuff, you know, in between timeouts or whatever. And people like NBA writers on Twitter like hate the kiss. I don't know why. Maybe because they've never been kissed.
Who can say?
They tend to hate the kiss cam. Yeah. But they go, like, all in on it, and I'm just like, it's just fun. I know a lot of it's fake, but it's still fun.
Well, like that thing with, like, hot sauce in Atlanta. That was a big topic.
Well, the Hawks are well known. Like, if you see anything interesting, usually from, like, a Hawks crowd, it's probably fake.
That's because of the history of Georgia Championship Wrestling in the city of Atlanta. They're just doing what Ole taught them to do.
Well, what was it? Steve Coonan came from Turner. He's probably got some of that carny in him still, I would imagine. Because I'd imagine Turner still has some carny floating around.
Yeah.
So, Ted Turner's the greatest carny of all time.
Yeah, somebody who used to work in WCW and figured out something just drifted around Turner Sports.
Like, figured out, like, you can just make shit fake and just make it look entertaining and real. And sometimes people just buy it.
Because the bottom line is it's not like people are all stupid. It's that they just don't devote that much of their brain to their entertainment.
No, because you just don't, and you don't care.
Like, they just don't care enough to think about it all that deeply.
But I'm not sure I buy the hot sauce thing as, like, super. Do you think it's fixed? Like, do you think you're told not, you can't let hot sauce not beat you?
I mean, it looked like he was calling spots, brother.
I mean, he wasn't
quite John Cena just yelling, Shinsuke! Shinsuke! Now! 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 Which may be the lowest point in the history of pro wrestling. John Cena for a guy
know that Japanese
for a guy who's been
he can learn Mandarin
for a guy who's been
can't learn Japanese.
There's very few people in the history of pro wrestling who have attained the level of success at pro wrestling that John Cena has, and for a guy who has achieved as much as him, he does some of the dumbest like. Jacked up wrestling school bullshit. He does more jacked up wrestling school bullshit than any other top guy in the history of pro wrestling.
Yeah. I feel like part of that's his genius though, because he just knows it probably doesn't matter.
But like it should
for him.
It shouldn't not matter when you're just like openly calling spots.
Yeah, but it's also like he's a movie. Like, it doesn't matter for Cena because he's a movie star now. Like, who cares? That's some like.
But he did that before he became like a movie star. Like, he's always done that.
But I think it proves some of that shit doesn't matter because sometimes you're just a star.
But it's irritating that it doesn't matter.
No, it might be entertaining, but it is what it is there.
Like, it's irritating that you can. Like, there's so many people who spent so many years, like, okay, I'm going to make sure when I call spots, I do it a certain way so nobody can even see my jaw moving. And then
and now,
Cena just goes,
now this guy
Shinsuke,
does it.
Get over here.
Yeah, and now this guy does it, and he's going to make more money than any of those guys made combined. So what's that kind of tell you? Maybe they're the
idiots. Flair made a lot of money. I mean, he spent it all.
No, he's going to make more. Cena's going to make more.
Cena has never really made what he should have. Like, Cena was willing to just take what WWE gave him, though.
Yeah, but also, like, he's about to make a ton with the movies.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, Ferdinand.
I don't know if he's going to be that big a star. I don't think it's going to work out.
Not that big, but, like, a B-plus level, kind of. But, like, and if he hits, you know, if he hits, like, Batista, then you're set.
He's not, he's
like
not as good as
Batista. Good. Batista also got lucky.
No! Batista's really talented.
He's good in that role, but he's got lucky he got that role, if that makes sense.
I mean, he was good in James Bond, too.
That movie sucked.
The movie sucked.
James Bond
was one of the best
sucks.
Parts of it. Mm-hmm. He was great in Blade Runner, even though he didn't have a huge role.
The 2 seconds?
He was like in the first 10 minutes.
Runner.
He was the... He,
I didn't
he
watch
had
it.
One of,
I didn't, I've never seen the first Blade Runner.
You really don't have to.
Well, if I want to watch Harrison Ford
and
science fiction...
It's so much better than the first Blade Runner that it makes you weak.
Is it better... Is it the best Harrison Ford movie?
It's the best Harrison Ford movie he's made in like 20 years.
Well, the best Harrison Ford movie is Air Force One.
It's a lot better than Air Force One.
Not the best movie Harrison... I think we've done this before. Not the best movie Harrison Ford was in, but the best Harrison Ford... I think we did this with Nick Cage in the March Madness last year, Dan. Where I pointed, like, Con Air is the not the best... It's the best movie Nick Cage has probably been in. No, it isn't. But it's, like, the best... I don't know where I'm going with this. We've done this.
You've wrapped
before.
Yourself up you've tangled yourself up in, like, a vine.
Some sort of awful, like, Zach Harper grown vine. I've infested myself
I'm
in.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
Cena's probably...
Everybody who didn't see Blade Runner 2049 personally insulted
is it better,
me.
Is it better than Air Force One,
It's
though?
Way better than Air Force One.
I don't buy that. Does he say, get off my plane?
He says lots of stuff better than that.
Get off my plane. Who else was in Air Force One?
I've never seen that movie all the way through.
Really? Have you seen Con Air?
No.
Okay. Have you seen Airplane? Have you seen any movies with
Airplane? I've seen Airplane.
Or what was the Cuba? What was the Steven Spielberg black Air Force movie?
I have not seen that movie.
Like Red Thunder or something?
Red Tails?
Red Tails.
Didn't see that movie.
You didn't see Red Tails?
I generally avoid Steven Spielberg movies.
Speaking of avoiding, Dan, it looks like Kevin Love's going to finally be able to avoid Isaiah Thomas because he's out for, what, 5 to 10 weeks?
Good. If Isaiah Thomas keeps his shit up, he might wind up with a fucking fist through his eye.
Yeah. Or he might wind up in Memphis or something.
Like, Isaiah Thomas is, like, cruising to getting himself shipped out of town.
Yeah. So Riddle is probably going to end up... Could low-key be the reason LeBron ends up leaving? It was probably, like, because Kyrie left.
But it's also, like, they traded Kyrie for this fucking malcontent.
Yeah, when they could have gotten Paul George or something.
Like, somebody who would have at least fit in.
I mean, you'll think Indiana wouldn't have done Kyrie for Paul George? I think they would in a heartbeat.
Sure.
So there's a lot more you probably could have gotten for Kyrie than this, what, 5'8 player? Muncy Bogues with a hip problem, basically. I know Isaiah's 6'1", but...
Isaiah's like 5'10".
I don't know. I thought he's listed as like 6 feet, though.
Motherfucker, he's 5'10". If he's 6'1", I'm 6'5".
I got them on right now. I'll let you know in a second. The Cavs are in a banger with the Heat right now, actually. It's a 1-point game here in the fourth.
Isaiah will fuck it up.
He's at the free throw line, so I'll let you know how it goes. But take us into the Isaiah Kevin Love beef, because Dan, you are Kevin Love Stan.
I mean,
you write him letters.
I'm. Look,
you are you. This is how I know of you best. Was the guy standing for Kevin Love super hard in the basketball court?
Look, I would not say I am a stan. I don't think he's 5'9". I was an inch too tall.
5'9". Wow. Kyrie was 6'3".
He thought he was 6'12". I don't know how you got that all mixed up. But, like, yeah. The thing is, Kevin Love has sacrificed a lot for this Cavs team of, like, his personal numbers.
No, and, like, to be fair, probably worth it because he got a championship.
He got a championship, and he's
probably going to help.
He made the key play that won the championship.
Yeah, and it was always – every. I think we always knew Kevin Love could probably kind of move on after Cleveland in a couple of years because we all know how the LeBron stuff works. It's like 4 years or bust. So I thought, you know, once he kind of cements his legacy, maybe he goes to Portland or some other team, maybe goes to the, you know, Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals a couple of times, you can go point back at that championship and go, well, he's a Hall of Famer because he's got that. And that matters to a lot. Whether or not they're right, that matters to a lot of the voters. So, like, that would probably, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably worth it in the end, but yeah.
But, you know, part of the deal with Kevin Love is that at Minnesota, he was probably the most underrated player in the NBA. Because so many people just dismissed everything he did. Well, you've never won a playoff series. Which, okay, you're playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. The single
most dysfunctional
franchises in the NBA.
The worst situation for him to have gone.
You're playing for a team that locked up Ricky Rubio instead of Kevin Love. Like, that's how smart they are.
Yeah.
You know, that drafted Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn in the same draft.
Yeah.
Instead of drafting, oh, I don't know. Some guy named Steph Curry. Who knows? Who's ever heard of that guy?
Well, to be fair, a lot of teams didn't.
Either. They drafted 2-point guards and somehow managed to miss the greatest point guard of the last 20 years.
I like that. Wasn't their excuse like we have enough point guards? Something weird like their rationale. But Steve Kahn was, I think we talked about him last week, just a giant idiot.
David Kahn. Steve Kahn is my buddy when I was a teenager who ended up writing SmackDown reviews for WrestlingObserver.com.
Kahn. Yeah, David Kahn.
Don't bring my poor buddy Steve into this.
Yeah, fuck you too, Steve Kahn. He didn't do a good job running the Timberwolves either.
he probably would have done a poor job. He would have been spending way too much time watching hockey.
Yeah, because one of the worst situations, because Love is, he's a really good player. I don't disagree with you, Dan. I think he's an excellent player. But is ideally, you want him to be like your second guy because he's so good at rebounding and shooting. And she'd rather have him like with the guy who can drive and kick to him.
Well,
or he can
get
the rebound.
He's a great playmaker, though, too, and he hasn't really gotten a chance to show that in Cleveland.
No,
because
LeBron and Kyrie. Yeah, but I don't think you want him to be your best playmaker. The best fit for Love is the second best guy.
Right. Yeah. I would
with next to a top five player.
But you would also want him to be, like, ideally, if you were using him optimally, you would also want him to be, like, all right, yeah, the best player is going to take a couple possessions off, and then Love can manufacture some points too, because he's a great
player.
Honestly,
ideally, you almost wanted him back with Russell Westbrook because they seem to work well together. I thought, they were roommates, they pair well,
they like each other, yeah.
They do, and like their games complement each other because he can rebound and Westbrook can shoot and miss a lot. He kind of helps you there, and he can pass.
And Love's crazy efficient offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, defensively, you need that's why you surround him with better defenders. Yeah. That's also kind of the issue with the Cavs right now, is as good as Love is or hasn't been used that well or whatever, he's bad on defense. That's just
he's not bad. He's average.
They're much better.
And then when he doesn't, if it's not important, then he becomes bad because he doesn't try.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're sidelining, but since you brought up my Kevin Love standing, I just want to bring up the one thing I've ever been right about in the history of this show and on the internet. When there are people who will probably never own up to it now, who when LeBron went to Cleveland thought he had royally fucked the team up by forcing them to trade Andrew Wiggins to Minnesota for Kevin Love.
Yeah.
How can you get rid of this guy? He's going to be an elite defensive player in the NBA.
Dan. Let's say Wiggins was that good.
Kevin Love.
With LeBron there, what do? They play the same position, basically. You can't really play Wiggins at the two because he's...
Okay, you're speaking honesty. Oh, yeah. But here was the funniest thing. Kevin Love, every year of Andrew Wiggins' career, has been a better defender than Andrew Wiggins. So pointing that out to people who talk about how bad Kevin Love's defense is, who shit on everything Kevin Love is. the guy that they all thought was going to be the world's greatest defensive player, because every college player who comes out who's a great athlete and has no skill, people start projecting them to be a great defensive player.
But do you think the Cavs would have been better off if they swung Wiggins for, like, Al Horford?
No. Maybe.
Because of the defense? Like, I guess you would lose a lot of the offense.
Because what they ended up doing with Kevin Love is, like, squeezing him into, like, this Chris Bosh role that he's way beyond. Yeah. But...
yeah. Like, he's essentially playing like Al Horford.
But, you know, they had Kyrie and LeBron. So why not?
Yeah.
Now they don't have Kyrie. Realistically, that offense should be going through Kevin Love 20% of the time.
But it can't because of the that's why Isaiah was never...
Because Isaiah Thomas is a terrible fit on a team that wants to win anything. Because he's 5'9", he can't guard anybody, and he takes 30% of your shots.
Oh, and his
hip. And his hip might be fucked up for the rest of the world. But even if it wasn't, you're not winning anything with Isaiah Thomas taking 30% of your shots.
Yeah, because you're on a team that's designed to have a bunch of shooters spaced out, and then Isaiah's not really a drive to the basket guy because he's not big enough.
For a team to be successful with Isaiah Thomas, they kind of have to be a team that is like four awesome defenders, and then Isaiah scores all their points. But no team wins like
Kind of like Boston.
Basically, Boston. He would be perfect with like those Thibodeau. Like if they had had him instead of Derrick Rose, they would have had like 85% of what those Bulls were.
Well, Dan, breaking news. Cavs are now undefeated without Kevin Love on the year. 1-0. They beat the Heat. A team that's not all that good. Whose best player, who's not that good, plays well, but talent-wise, no. Their best player is like Wayne Ellington at the time. I mean, it's Gordon Dragic, but still. A 30-year-old slob is...
I love the way he said that. He's a fucking slob.
A 30-year-old's not even like a young slob. A 30-year-old. So I'm just saying, maybe not the most athletically gifted point guard in the world. But the Heat are, I don't know how much you've watched, but the Heat are an interesting team to watch and follow, they would say.
Yeah, but they're not.
Pat Riley's done a really good job.
They're not good
with the Heat in Spoelstra. Well, consider, you know, they didn't think they were going to lose Chris Bosh, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, it's not like it's their fault. It's just they're not good.
Yeah. Well, I think they're good.
They're not good.
They're just not going to win. They're fourth seed.
They're part. They are a product of the E.
Yeah. But I mean, I think in the West, they'd still be like 10.
They'd be like a 12.
Probably still a good NBA team.
They'd be 12.
Well, who is 12 in the West? Let's look this up.
Because there's that other thing where it's like you're not that great a team, but you're at least playing together. When you're in the East and there's so many bad teams, it allows you to, like, pick up confidence. Because it's like, hey!
Yeah, because, like, we'll think about in your division.
We beat the Hornets!
We'll think about in their division. Yeah, because, like, what? In the NBA, you play your division the most, right? You play them, what, 5-6 times, I think? So you get to play the Hornets, the Hawks, and the Magic.
It's like, well, shit.
What's that, 18 times in the year?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that'll make anybody look good.
But, like, they're better than the Lakers and Grizzlies. That's who's 11 and 12.
Are they really better than the Grizzlies?
Without Mike Conley?
Or the Grizzlies just, like, giving up on life.
And, like, they probably would catch the Clippers at 9, and the Pellies will probably fall
the
off.
The Pellies.
We'll get to that in a second, too.
Is that a thing that, other people do?
I think it's just something I've been doing.
Are you starting this to try to, like...
I either saw it on Twitter, or just naturally I said, oh, the Pellies. That's what I'm going to call them. And I like it, the Pellies.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I used to call LeBron Bron Bon.
See, I like that. That's charming.
Bron. Yeah, that's fun. The Pellies. The Pellies. It's like very English.
Oh, I thought that was your Australian accent. Oh. My bad.
The Pellies, mate. I guess same thing, same people. they're white people who worship the Queen. Same thing. Fuck. There's
not anymore.
So fuck the Queen.
Not anymore. From
Are they
what
pull
I hear.
Out? We'll cut. We'll go. That'll be our last segment. We'll jump in. But yeah. But you look at these Cavs situation, Dan.
But see, here's the thing. Okay, this is what infuriates me the most about Isaiah Thomas. He's been a terrible player this year. He's been absolutely worthless, but then he has an attitude. And then, like, he shows up in practice, he shits on Kevin Love saying, you're not really sick. Which, alright, who the fuck are you to tell Kevin Love he's not really sick? Like, what have you done in the NBA versus Kevin Love? Like, what, like, okay, we want to play the seniority card. Kevin Love's got a ring. He's been in more All-Star games than you. He's had more. He's put up better numbers than you over the course of his career. And then, like, Isaiah Thomas could start going, we don't practice enough. we practiced more in Boston. And it's like, yeah, what did Boston ever beat? When has Boston ever beaten LeBron James? When?
Well. Like the end of 08?
Yeah. Was Isaiah Thomas on that team?
When he was on the Cavs. Last time he was on the Cavs. When he was with, what, like Shaq's corpse with like 1 foot. And who else was on those teams?
That last team, I think it had Shaq and the corpse of Shaq and the corpse of Ben Wallace. I think
we're
both
LeBron
on that
leave?
Team.
Like 08? When was the decision?
I think it was 08.
2008? All right, let's look up the – I'm going to look up the 2007 Cavs. But, like, yeah, anybody who blamed him for leaving – like, yeah, the decision was stupid. That was, but he was immature. He was dumb. I would have left that team.
Yeah, he just shouldn't have done the decision. My fucking, he absolutely should have left.
2007 Cavs. Yeah, he – 100%. And plus, he did run on the Celtics teams that won. And the Cavs probably should practice more because their team defense is abysmal.
I mean, I don't think they really should. They're a veteran team. Like, those guys don't have the body. Like, they don't have the – they've got too many miles on the odometers to be spending any busting their ass in practice. They all know what they're supposed to do. It's just they're all old. Like, that's just that's the issue. The Cavs are the oldest team in the NBA. Like, what? You want Dwayne Wade, like, running up extra miles, busting his ass in practice? Like, no.
No, but I think – and it might just be something you can't fix without just trading for a guy – but they are kind of missing something on Team D when you watch. Like, there's
they're missing,
poor communication.
The thing they're
first
missing
off.
Is that their point guard can't guard anything. Like, Kyrie,
they're missing
Kyrie
some, like,
wants
but Dan,
to,
when, you,
when Kyrie yeah. wants to put in effort, Kyrie's not a bad defender. Isaiah Thomas is just lost. He's tiny, and he's lost.
Yeah, and he's not as quick because, yeah, he's on one hip, basically. Yeah, like I said, it's a bad fit. I kind of wish Charlotte would have bid on that Kemba Walker for Isaiah trade. So I'd like to see Kemba play with, like, a real NBA team instead of, like, the ACC third team or whatever it is every year in Charlotte.
Poor Hornets.
Well, you won tonight. You beat the Hawks, so congrats on that.
Congrats on that,
Kevin Knox.
ACC beats SEC. Take that.
I don't think there's a single – there's one ACC player on the Hawks, and that's John Collins. So the Hornets don't even have probably the best ACC rookie that there is. I guess Tatum, but yeah.
The Hawks haven't drafted an ACC player since they picked Marvin Williams over Chris Paul.
No, John Collins. Wake Forest.
John Collins
is having a good year.
John Collins sounds more like a Duke player name than a Wake name.
It does, but he was a Wake guy, power forward.
Because, like, Wake
made the rookie.
Wake's thing is they either have, like, really good high school black dudes from Winston-Salem. Which is weird, but every now and again they're able to get one of those guys to stay, like Chris Paul or what's my dude? The dude I'm always going on about. Anyway, he used to play for the Mavericks. Or like Russian
JJ Barea.
Like Russian dudes. Wake Forest has always had this pipeline into like Mother Russia. Or like Lithuania and Romania. Like, I don't know. They might have been the people got Trump hooked up with these Russians. Who knows?
You want me to run through the 07 Cavs? This is the Cavs team that made the finals, mind you. This is how good LeBron was back then. You want to hear their starting five, Dan?
Hit me.
Iligauskas. Drew Gooden. LeBron. Sasha Pavlovic. And your point guard was Larry Hughes. And you
Larry
had, like,
fucking Hughes.
The man. St. Louis's greatest college player ever.
Larry Hughes, former two guard for those Philadelphia 76ers teams with Allen Iverson.
Yeah, and you had Eric Snow was the two.
No, that was a big deal. Like when Allen Iverson was always a point
that's
guard,
right, yeah.
And then Larry Brown was like, "Ugh, Iverson, you don't share the ball enough. I'm moving you to two guard." So Larry Hughes got kicked out of the starting lineup, and Eric Snow became the point guard.
Yeah, and he got shipped off to the Warriors, and then he came. The Wizards and the Cavs, who was supposed to be like LeBron's second guy, didn't go too well. You could do that or you play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and get to live in Miami. They're going to want to pick it if I'm a 23-year-old LeBron.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little update on that. So, yeah, but what do you – can the Cavs – like, you kind of hear like maybe the Cavs are going to make maybe a move for DeAndre Jordan. I don't think that really helps because he doesn't defend the Warriors well. And that should, I guess that's the end goal is beating the Warriors because
well, if he's in
making the finals, it doesn't necessarily guarantee LeBron stays.
Like I'm a well known DeAndre Jordan hater, but is he not better than Tristan Thompson? Like isn't he basically just Tristan Thompson but like a little bit better?
Yeah, but I think the issue is like he'll get you, because you probably make the finals anyway, but he does help you get to the finals a little bit better. But I'm not sure he's going to help you beat the Warriors.
I mean, does he help you more than Tristan Thompson? If yes, then you do.
He's pretty bad against the Warriors. I think if you look at his defensive stats, but defensive stats are all bullshit anyway. But I think like when you break it down, he doesn't really help that much. Because the Warriors can just go small. You go Draymond at the five or you go Durant at the five.
Sure.
What are you going
to
do?
I mean, but they could do that to – I mean, they do that anyway.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Jordan's not going to help you beat – it's not the dynamic center that they necessarily need. I'm not sure there's a move. I think the Cavs, the best move is to honestly just blow it up and let LeBron leave. He fucked it up. Never should have traded Kyrie.
Dan Gilbert should have tried to sell the team before LeBron's contract year. That is a classic
example.
He's going to
lose a ton.
That's a classic example of missing your opportunity to sell high.
How much value is that team? It's like $500 million they're going to lose when LeBron leaves this summer.
That's insane.
That's what he brings. I mean, then it goes back down, but it's going to go up and it'll be worth it.
But he blows his – I mean, if he wanted to cash out, he's blown it because now he'll have to sit on it for a few more years.
But and he also blew the future by picking LeBron over Kyrie when really you probably should have stuck with Kyrie because
Kyrie didn't want to stay.
What's he going to do?
Be fucking miserable to deal with all the time?
But he's still going to play. And then he's still got to make stuff. Like, still got to make the All-Star team. Still got to go to the finals to get all that money from a shoe contract, so –
Like, and then maybe just keep sending you a bunch of links to, like, InfoWars, like, all the goddamn time.
But I think you probably should have kept Kyrie and just say, well, LeBron walks Kyrie, this is your team, and maybe start playing politics there. And start say, who do you want us to trade for, Kyrie? And then you win him over. And also, you don't fire David Griffin. That was
too.
Well, so every move the Cavs have made since winning the title has been classic Cleveland, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
It's fucking it up beautifully.
I just because
you had a team that could have at least competed for the finals for the next 5 years if you did it right. And you're going to be getting, what, one ring, four trips, and it's all over.
Well, I mean, that's better than what they had before.
That's true.
Banners hang forever.
Yeah. And it's probably worth it, but you could have done a lot more. You could have set yourself up to maybe compete going into the next decade. And instead, you're probably going to have to rebuild. Because I imagine once LeBron leaves, you got to get Love out of there. And then you're left with what? Whatever the Brooklyn pick is at number six, so like Wendell Carter from Duke. It's not a pretty situation for Cleveland at all. And what do you get for Love, really? Maybe a first rounder and a bad contract?
Kevin Love, I think there's a lot of teams that would be interested in it.
No, I think a lot of teams would, but they're not going to overpay for him because they know they don't have to.
Well, they will if there's a lot of teams available.
Really.
Like the thing, that allowed Detroit. Well, I mean, the Griffin trade ended up being because very few people wanted to be paying that much money to Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Whereas Kevin Love's not.
But, I mean,
on that
I think,
kind
but
of
now thing. You can't point to it and go, "Well, that's the value for Love," is around what Griffin was, maybe.
Yeah, but like everybody thought that.
Maybe you get a little bit more, but you're not going to get a franchise player for Kevin Love. You're not going to get, you're not even going to get an Andrew Wiggins type guy with the kind of potential like that for Love if you're Cleveland now. You're probably just going to get cap space and a pick.
Well, I mean, that's better than Wiggins.
But maybe it's worthy. You won the championship. Who cares?
Yeah.
But you could have kept Kyrie Love and built around that,
I think Kevin Love wanted to get out of there anyway.
I think he would have played with Kyrie.
Maybe. I think
he's... But he's also a West Coast guy. Like,
he's tired of being in the middle of the Midwest. I think he wants to get back where, like, there's warmth.
Yeah. Well, he's also dates, like, what, like that model? So, like, I think Kevin Love ends up, though, in Portland or Miami. That's official. That's my official, I think.
I really – the Miami maybe. Thing, I really think that. That really hits my head.
Because they have the – because, like, around the time you would be trading Love, probably, like, 2019, 2020, they're going to have – like, that Tyler Johnson's making, what, $20 million, but expires in 2020. You're going to have Justice Winslow to maybe throw in as a piece or Dragic's contract that's ending.
I mean, if LeBron leaves, they're not going to be holding on to Kevin Love till 2020.
No. I mean, the contract, like, but you trade him in the 2019 season.
Okay, yeah.
Next year. So then you're going to – Miami's got some contracts that start to expire around then. So maybe that is a good – that's kind of what I want. I want to see Kevin Love in Miami.
I want him in Charlotte.
Well, no. I want him in Atlanta where he would thrive the best, Dan. Or he should have been all along, Coach Bud. Turn him into white Tim Duncan.
Well, he'll never be white Tim Duncan.
There's an oxymoron.
Like he's defensive.
There's already a white Tim Duncan. His name's Tim Duncan.
I don't know what race Tim Duncan is.
Virgin.
True.
For the Virgin Islands, that means you're a virgin. It's your race.
Hey, did you know that Tim Duncan didn't even play basketball until college? He was a swimmer.
Did you know Antonio Gates?
I love that.
Antonio Gonzalez.
But did you know they played basketball in college? I love when people give you those trivia things. Like,
people forget that.
But they're like, the nobody's PFT heard. Comment.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, I had no idea Tim Duncan didn't play basketball until college.
But Tim Duncan's got like a hot wife, though, doesn't he? Like, Tim Duncan fucks.
I mean, he is a basketball player.
Think like
Have
Chris
you
Boston.
Ever seen a basketball player with an ugly wife?
I gotta look through it. It's got to be somebody who's, like, on the hook with this. Like, I guess Ish Smith would be my only guess, but I don't think he's married. Because he's, like, very religious.
That ain't gonna necessarily mean you with Ugo.
Yeah, sure. I think Ish Smith's gay, though. That's my official...
I mean, do I...
Like, he's very religious. I go through his Instagram, all of his pictures are with, like, his sisters or his female cousins.
Look, I mean... That's my gut reaction to anybody who's super religious.
Religious
and,
guy.
And wealthy.
What do you mean, Wake Forest from, like, your area? Seems like a deal. Guy.
When's that Tyler Perry gonna settle down? Grandmas always say.
Let's see. Amy Duncan. Oh, they're divorced.
Well, that's that. That's
Duncan
that
left his wife.
That's that athlete thing who's now suddenly, like, at home and realizes he doesn't really get along with his wife and they have to spend a lot of time. There's a lot of relationships like that that break up, like right when that retired player decides to finally come home, and then they realize that they're only really happy seeing each other like once every 2 weeks.
I'm confused now. I don't know who. I think Amy Duncan is a fake person. Anyway, Dan,
who is that Notre Dame? Who's that? Who was the name of that fake Notre Dame girlfriend? Manny Te'o's fake?
Oh, Manny Te'o's. Yeah,
Layla.
Maybe Tim Duncan would have a thing. But no, Dan, say Chris Bosh like never went out and fucked. All the rest of the Heat players thought he was gay because he would like stay in and like read about programming or something. Because he's just a big nerd.
He's building a fuck
but
robot.
I think Chris Bosh, but Chris Bosh has a hot wife or girlfriend though. Like, very low key thing.
So I love my wife.
Let's move
don't,
on.
Don't
I don't
call
we
my wife.
Talk, we got
what?
We
no,
got
don't email my wife.
So. Don't. Who did that?
I was spray painted on a garage. Don't ever email my wife.
That's right. And wasn't it like a weird conservative blogger or something?
Probably.
Thought it was like, oh, was it the guy who was like going to run for president?
Okay, that's a jump.
You remember that?
No.
Who was the guy who was going to run for president, like who wouldn't let his wife talk to other men when he was in Iraq? Was it like David Frum? Or he's like one of those never Trumpers.
David Frum was never an actual fighter. Like he's
wasn't David Frum, but he's in that category in my brain. He's like the Mormon guy, the never Trumper guy from Utah.
Romney?
No.
Evan McMullen.
Yeah, Evan McMullen. Did he like not let his wife talk to other men when he was in Iraq?
I don't know anything about that man.
It was something weird like that.
All I know about that man is his perfectly egg-shaped head. And the fact that like somebody thought he could be a viable candidate because he's been in the CIA.
Who what? Was it like the guy from the National Review or something? It was like
okay, that was a different guy. Like a different third party guy. The National Jesus. That was Bill Kristol's guy from
That's
the Weekly
right.
Standard. And
he was Evan McMullen was his guy. Right?
No, he ended up endorsing Evan McMullen. He had his own guy for a little bit.
Oh.
And then that guy
But it wasn't even like a guy in politics.
No, he was just some like dude in the military. Writer. He's just some, like, vet who wrote for Weekly Standard.
And, like, everyone hyped it up for some reason.
Yeah, because, like...
For, like, a day.
The thing about the mainstream media and, like, mainstream media liberals is they think people give a shit about Bill Kristol. Like, they think that these neocons who are, like, whose whole philosophy is based around let's blow everything up, they think those dudes are, like, serious political thinkers that are taken seriously and have, like, a real constituency when they don't. Like, nobody gives a shit
about
that. Yeah,
because, like, most Trump voters wouldn't even know who that is.
Most Trump voters have no
most
idea
Trump
who they
voters,
are. And most Trump voters
most don't even
actually
read the
like
national
war.
Reviews. Yeah. And most don't know who Brett Stevens is. Or like, it's like all these, like, conservatives that liberals get mad at, like, don't – like, why are you paying attention to these people? Because they don't matter.
And, like, why do you give them
They
jobs?
Matter in, like, a certain elite sphere.
Like, why does the New York Times even give that guy a job? He literally has
why
no
does
readers.
New York Times – yeah. Yeah.
Like, the only people who read him are, like, liberals who read it to get mad.
To get mad? Like, do, like, conservative newspapers have that? Like, the
No!
Like, Fox News doesn't even do
that. Like dead, here's but. The difference between liberals and conservatives. Liberals hire conservatives so that they can pretend to be even-minded when they get mad at them. But like, oh, I've listened to your point of view, and it's disgusting, and here's why. Whereas conservatives' idea of a liberal is to just hire some idiot to just get punched all the time.
Yeah.
Like some guy who basically just shows up and goes, well, the Bible is kind of dumb, isn't it? And then you go, no, it's God's word.
Well, what was it? Not Hannity, Combs.
Yeah, you know? Alan Combs, well, just this like wormy fucking, well, the Constitution said, well, Jesus would have been a liberal. No! Like,
yeah,
like
and
the
also
point
like
of liberal, like, to conservatives, like, the ideal liberal is this, like, half-wit who they can beat in an argument.
Yeah, because, like, they're scared of, like, the feminist lesbian with, like, purple hair. That's, like, your average, like, Midwestern conservative's, like, biggest fear. Not that they're, like, really, they just don't want to run into them, because it's just awkward, I think. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, they'd rather run into, like, a Combs than, say, like, a Rachel Maddow who doesn't shave her armpit. Like, that's what they're scared of, because that person might fuck their wife. That's what they're. That's also what they're really. They know no one's wife is gonna leave them for Alan Combs. They might leave you for a lesbian though. They know how to fuck. So I kind of get why you'd be more scared of that. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying like, they're all afraid of that female comedian whose name I've forgotten, Cameron Esposito. They're all in fear of Cameron Esposito.
Yes. That's why, like, they embrace, like, the twiggy liberal, because, like, yeah, that, no one's going to fuck that guy. It's gross. But, like, if it's,
Alan
like,
Combs
hot
has
lesbian,
never fucked.
Yeah. Or, like, a black guy, they're scared of that, too. Penises. So, like, they're scared of that, too. So, yeah.
As we psychoanalyze the entire conservative movement.
So, I buy into that, though. I don't know how I could quantify that data or confirm my study, Dan, but I think that's right. I want to jump back into this because we didn't get to talk about it. We got distracted. I want to talk about Blake Griffin on the Pistons. Is this going to work?
No.
I think it is because Van Gundy's he's a good coach still.
Yeah, but he's made a lot of bad moves as a GM. Like, he's another, like, Doc Rivers, who's, like, a really good coach, who's really fucked his team up with, like, being an incompetent GM.
Yeah. Especially with drafting because, like, they just haven't hit on any. Like, teams are hitting it, you know. 14, 15, we saw Donovan Mitchell and other guys. Like, so they're not hitting where they should hit, where other teams had either. Because, so like, you know, if you had, like, a young three coming off the bench who maybe had some potential, be excited about Detroit right now. Or what if they drafted Donovan Mitchell?
Right.
Put him with Griffin, Drummond, and Reggie Jackson. That's a team. Like, we might be able to cook in a year, you know? But now, I'm not sure. Griffin's going to have to reinvent his game. He's going to have to become a better three-point shooter. Or it's not going to work. To me, it's black or white with that. He's going to have to become a guy who can shoot 35% from three. Or at least a guy that you have to respect if he's out there on the wing or in the corner.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's...
But I think it's going to work. Yeah. Someone compared it, Dan, though, to like the Chris Webber trade when he went to Sacramento and how it kind of worked because he didn't have all those distractions around him and was able to focus more. I could kind of see that happening in Detroit. I could see Detroit becoming like the early aughts Kings. Team that maybe makes a run to the conference finals one year and almost does it, but falls short.
I don't know.
I think that's probably the ceiling, but that's not a bad ceiling.
I don't think they'll be that good. I think they'll make the playoffs.
If LeBron leaves.
I think they'll make the playoffs, and then next year will come, and they'll start badly, and then everybody gets fired.
Maybe you move Drummond. Because I guess the next guy you would trade would be like Reggie Jackson. But
nobody wants him. So, yeah, you can't.
No one wants him because, yeah.
I mean, the guy that has any kind of value is maybe Andre Drummond. But he also maybe doesn't have all that much value because he's like a guy that, you know, everybody. Like, whether it's wrong or right, and I don't know if it is true, the NBA does not value players like Andre Drummond anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's your most valuable trade asset. And whether they should or shouldn't, people aren't valuing him as an asset.
No, and probably if they do trade him, they end up looking like they got fleeced because whoever gets him will probably figure out how to use a guy like Drummond. Because I think there is room to make a big man like that work. Because, I mean, with the way teams switch, you're going to end up with Drummond on a guy smaller than him. If you can find a way to make that happen more and get him to drive and feed more, or not feed, but do like kind of go more towards the basket, especially when he's got like a point guard or a three on him or something like that, it'll probably work. With Drummond, but I'm not sure Gundy's the guy that's going to figure that out. But I think this could be a 50-win team next year. I don't see why they couldn't, especially if LeBron leaves. It's all open because we don't know if the Bucks are going to figure it out or not. They're still as promising as the Milwaukee Bucks. Look, Dan, they're still Milwaukee.
Well, yeah, and it's like that thing that everybody did with, like, New Orleans, where everybody was, like, crowning them before they'd done anything or proven they could do anything. It's like, all right, let's see it first.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember. Somebody was on Matt Moore's podcast recently, and his, like, big thing was, like, you know, when Anthony Davis first came into the league, everybody was trying to crown him as one of the best players in the league before he'd actually done it based on, yeah, but look at him. Look at how good he – look at how athletic and long he is. He'll be that. But it's like – well, yeah, but he ain't that yet, you know. Yeah. And like, I think people.
And
do
he
that
almost
with the
wasn't
Bucks.
Anything close. Yeah. With the early injuries, looks like he's kind of put together some healthy years now. But yeah,
and I think people have done the same thing with the Bucks and with Giannis, where it's just like, oh, he's one of the best players in the league. It's like, well, he isn't yet. Like he probably
and
will
he
be, but let's wait until he does it.
And he got lucky that Kidd kind of figured out to make him point. But let's say he gets a coach who doesn't want it. Like, let's say they make a dumb hire. They hire, like, some old-school coach or something like that.
The Bucks hiring a bad coach? That's never happened.
Wild. Someone worse than Jason Kidd almost would be for that to happen. So everything could go wrong, and Detroit could luck out into a 50-win year or a year where, let's say, Kyrie breaks his ankle. Then anyone can win the East if LeBron's gone.
Sure.
You know? So, that could be the future next year where if you are a team like Detroit, LeBron leaves, you can be competitive for 3 years. And maybe you get lucky.
Yeah, and that gets to a point I made to you off the air that it's like I'm so annoyed with these people who act like winning 50 games in the NBA is like somehow like Tom Ziller, I'm calling you out. Like this idea that oh, you're either in the top 2 of your league or you might as well not even play basketball. No. Like winning 50 games and proving that you're competent, like that's how you entice a player to come to you. Like, a team that, like, yeah. The thing that people still haven't gotten through their heads is that, okay, you strip a team down to nothing, and you have all this cap room, and you have all these assets. Well, until you turn those assets and that cap room into some good players, you're never convincing free agents to want to be traded to you.
And who is it, honestly, it worked for Cleveland because of weird circumstance? You could say it kind of worked for L.A. with Shaq, but, like, that's the Lakers, like... Unless you're in New York,
but it wouldn't
LA,
have worked for Cleveland
Miami.
If they didn't have Kyrie. Like LeBron would not have gone to Cleveland if they didn't already.
Well,
have
also
Kyrie.
Wouldn't have worked if they didn't have the history with LeBron
and
either.
And the history. It took having that history with LeBron and them having Kyrie for him to go back.
Kyrie, yeah. So like, if you're a team like let's say you're Detroit, you strip everything down. No one wants to move to Detroit for 6 months. It's just how it is. Unless like now people go to Detroit, it clicks and they love it. That's something I hear a lot. Like, if you get it, it kind of makes sense, and you roll with the culture there, they'll love you forever. But, like,
look,
I can live in L.A., New York, or Chicago, or Miami.
For all these people who shit on Detroit, like, it ain't that much colder than New York. It ain't that much colder.
Yeah, well, I think the difference with New York is it's the biggest city
well,
in the world.
Sure, it's like a media capital, and that gives New York the edge. But, like,
there's a lot
going, where would
cool
you
city.
Rather play? Okay, you're an NBA player. Where would you rather play? Milwaukee, Minnesota, or Detroit?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, right now I'd probably look at Minnesota, but yeah, but in general,
I mean,
yeah,
as a place you
would
want to
play
spend time.
I'd want to go to Dallas, Miami, LA.
But if you had a choice between Detroit, Milwaukee, or Minnesota, or even
right
Portland,
now?
If you're an NBA player.
Oh, Portland. Because I'm white.
Yeah, because you're white. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm a black dude in the NBA, I'd rather go play in Detroit than I would. A lot of these cities that, like, sports writers are always banging on about.
Yeah, but, like, in reality, though, that's not the option for most players.
Everybody can't play for Miami.
No, but also, like, Dan, if you're Detroit, you're probably not going to get free agents.
No, but if their team suddenly got good, they would.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you do what you're talking about, if you strip them down,
then you're getting
it's not going to work for
you're
Detroit.
Getting nothing.
Yeah, now, if you're Miami, L.A., New York, it might work. It might not, but you have an advantage over these other teams because of your market. If you're Detroit, you just got to swing for the fences. And that's what they did. That's why I like the trade.
I don't think it's swinging for the fences, though. To me, this is conservative. This is, hey, who's the best player available that we can get? Okay, we got him. All right, so now we're a little bit better than we were before. We have made our team a little bit better than we were before we did it.
And it's the team, Dan, that started off fourth in the East.
So,
like, they had an 8-game losing streak until last night.
Yeah.
When we're recording. So not until Tuesday. So, like, this is a this is a team that can be competitive again. I think adding Griffin helps, yeah. But my point was, just to build on your point, was if you're Detroit, it's really dumb to strip and tank.
I think it's a dumb idea to strip and tank if you're anybody, but especially if you're a team that, like, you need to be good just to have anybody watching you.
Yeah. And especially moving to a new arena, and if you're, I keep thinking Ron Jeremy, but if you're Stan Van Gundy, you had to make this move because you're probably, but you can't rely on draft picks anymore because you got one more year on your contract.
Yeah.
So it's now or never. So you can't, you don't even have that kind of option to rebuild. You got to swing, you know, kind of swing for the fences and get your guy. So, but I think it'll end up working for, especially if LeBron leaves. Like I said, you can be a 50-win team and ain't nothing wrong with doing that for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And maybe when you, like, when you're a 40, 50-win team, you suddenly become more attractive to some guy who might look up and go, hey, I can play with that guy, or I can do something with that guy. Like, the issue where everybody goes, oh, you never want to be a 50-win team. No, if you're not a 50-win team, you've got no chance at becoming a champion. Because you've got to at least be a 50-win team to get anybody to want to go play for you. Like, nobody is going to go, oh, I'm leaving this place to go play for this team who's, like, a 30-win team. That doesn't happen.
No, but, yeah, also, too, like, winning's going to help your culture. Like, because I think about me as a Hawks fan. They tried to clear all that space. They tried to almost do what the Pistons did. They cleared some space and no one wanted to come because they hadn't really proved that they're a franchise that cares, that if that makes sense. So it's more than just, you know, getting cap room and all that. You got to put money into player facilities and things like that, too. And some of that just comes with getting the money from being a team that makes the playoffs for 5 years in a row. That's a lot of extra revenue. So sometimes it's a move where you're maybe you're eyeing towards 2030 more than people may think if you're Detroit, especially if you're the team president. I forget his name, but he's the guy who used to be the mega agent. Thanks for running the show in Detroit now. So maybe that's kind of what you're doing too, getting more money into your coffers, building things that will entice free agents. Almost like a college football program would do, Dan.
I mean, that's become the big thing in the NBA now, is because it used to be everybody just wanted to be the highest paid player on his team, and there's only 30 teams, so, you know, you could be a shitty team and overpay and end up with, you know, Joe Johnson.
Yeah. Joe Johnson.
Whereas now the Joe Johnsons of the world would rather be like the third best player on a world championship because they get so much more sponsorship opportunities.
This was to say, because I think as I heard the other day, basketball's not even the first thing. The shoe game's number one, man. That's where the money is at, you know, for most of these guys. That's where you're making your money. Especially when you get bonus, like, you know, just making the finals might get you more for your shoe money than you may have gotten paid going to that team and getting paid a little bit more. So 100% right there, Dan. So, but, last thing on the NBA on a wild week, DeMarcus Cousins, torn Achilles, out for the year. Not an injury a lot of people recover from. I think Cousins will recover, but probably he'll be 75% of what he was. It kind of, this injury sucks though, Dan.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really shitty. I mean, there's just, like, you see, like, it gets.
He's, like, kind of, he's figuring it out.
The thing is that he has tore his Achilles, time. And he's much younger than a lot of the other guys who tore their Achilles.
Yeah. And he's a lot, like, I know, like, Elton Brand's the biggest example, but Elton Brand had shoulder issues, too. And, like, he's only, to me, he's got more talent than Elton Brand did.
Elton Brand was a really talented
That's not
guy.
A knock
I'm
on
not sure I go there.
That's not a knock on Elton Brand, either. I think Boogie can be, he's just like, I mean, he can shoot from the outside. If he develops that. You know, doesn't matter if you lose some athleticism if he can shoot.
I'm not sure. I'll go with you there. But what I will say is that, like, Elton Brand was like 29, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a.
Yeah, he was a little bit. It was when he was with like the Clippers and the 76ers or something. It was like in practice before the season started. I want to say 76ers.
It's just he was a lot older, and his body was maybe like less able to recover. Then
and medical science wasn't as good.
Yeah.
You know, made major advancements in the past, you know, 2-3 years, let alone the past, what, decade and a half? So hopefully everything works. That injury really bummed me out, Dan. Like, I was really excited to kind of finally see him in the playoffs. And just see what he can do. Not win a championship or anything, but maybe make some noise. Take a team to 7 games. Be spectacular. You know, that's why you watch. And not going to get that now. Just bums me out.
It does.
Because, like, I was going to be real. Because even if they're like the, you know, sixth seed, they play the Rockets, maybe they push the Rockets seven games or something, and it's a fun series. So it's just a loss, for, I think, for everybody, especially the NBA, especially Cousins, too. Let's move on to the last thing we're going to talk about, Dan, because that's right, we're on halfguard.com. We got to bring in the MMA coverage, right? That's right. We're talking WWE Royal Rumble, the hottest new MMA promotion, WWE. So let's kind of not really recap the Royal Rumble, but let's talk about it, Dan. A big event.
It was the best.
You want to start with Rousey?
Or? Let's start with Rousey because it's an MMA website. Okay. Let's do that.
How dumb was the Rousey? Like, it was cool, but it was also really dumb.
I mean, didn't everybody immediately think of Rampage in TNA?
With the pointing? Or I just thought the pointing was...
Like, I just looked at it and was like, ugh, this is embarrassing. Yeah. Like, this is real. Like, this is... I mean, you know, the friend of the site, Dave Meltzer, put it... I gotta give credit where it's due. He did say one thing that sounded kind of smart, where he's just like, man... a lot of these MMA guys, they come to pro wrestling and they think they have to be cheesier and over the top instead of just being what they were that people cared about in MMA. You know?
Yeah, I don't even remember Rampage.
Rampage was in TNA and he just was this completely silly, ludicrous, over the top.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think the problem with Rousey is with her persona, over the top would work great actually.
No, just go just.
The issue is Rousey's not very charismatic. Like, she would be in more movies if she was any good at acting.
No, I think she's got a lot of charisma, like that do nothing bitch and all that stuff. That's, you know, she's got good lines, you know, for, you know. But, like, when you come into WWE, all these MMA guys now think they need to be, I'm over the top, and I'm a pro wrestler now. I'm going to take you down. You know, instead of just talking the way you did when you were doing MMA interviews. Like, look at Kim Shamrock in WWF and then look at the way Kim Shamrock talks when he's doing an MMA hype. Like, Kim Shamrock is a completely insane person in MMA. He's not normal, but he's insane in a way that draws money in MMA.
I thought it worked in WWE.
No, it didn't. Nowhere near what it did in UFC. He drew a million buy rate back when that was not done. And then in WWE, he was just a guy who screamed a lot. He was just like, I'm going to tear off your neck and shit.
I think it was as successful as it could have been with the guy. Like, also, like, probably just wouldn't work as who Shamrock is.
It would have worked if he was more like Ken Shamrock instead of his idea of what a wrestler
when
was.
When it's like, when it works in cockfighting, I'm not sure it works in sports entertainment.
It would. I mean, that stuff is the stuff that used to work in wrestling. But then for whatever reason, those guys come to wrestling
also,
and think
like,
they
the
have
thing
to
with
be
Shamrock,
cheesy.
I think what always hurt Shamrock, too, is, like, A, Shawn Michaels fucked with his head a lot, apparently. And, like, B...
He's a weak person mentally. Ken Shamrock is a weak guy mentally because he wasn't that good a fighter.
Yeah, and,
like everything
and
about
he,
him is,
and honestly,
is bullshit.
And also, he ran into three of the biggest stars ever in Mick Foley, The Rock, and Steve Austin.
Yeah, but, he ended up being one of the biggest pay-per-view draws ever, too. But he just didn't do it in wrestling.
And something different, though. Yeah, maybe that's actually your point about Rousey. Maybe it just won't work.
It would work if she just was her. But if she comes, and I'm not willing to put all this blame on WWE. Like, she's the one who has to come in and deliver that shit.
Yeah, but also it was the first.
And she's in a position to say no to anything they tell her to do.
Yeah.
Like, but Brock Lesnar doesn't do anything they ask him to do just because they ask him to.
But I'm not sure it's fair to judge it, because we don't know. She's done one thing, and she didn't talk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not giving up on
weird.
Her. I'm not giving up on her. I'm just saying I got bad vibes.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, the coolest moment. I thought, like, kind of the Women's Rumble just should have been in the show there, because it was just way better than it should have been. Tell you that much. And I'm not a guy who hates the women. I just figured it wouldn't be that good, because it's, like, the
I was time. Shocked that the women from the past didn't just, like, immediately show up and fuck everything up.
No, they did a really good job. Like when Michelle McCool's eliminating people, I was like, hell yeah. Like, I knew it was dumb, but, like, I got into it. I liked it. And then I think they put it over, like, because she's so much taller. That's why she has an advantage. That was a good...
Like, the fact that when Kelly showed up, she didn't just immediately, like, set the ring on fire.
Yeah. No, but, you know, they did a good job, too, of, like... And I know some people complain, but they just had, like, girls roll out of the ring. But that helped with spots for that. Like, sometimes that's what you got to do. Like, it's not going to be perfect when you're dealing with – when you're doing things where you need nostalgia pops and the nostalgia acts are all, like, 40-year-old models.
Yeah. Well, it's women's wrestling, so all these washed-up women from yesteryear are like 33.
That's true. Tori Wilson, my lord. My lord, that woman has gotten better with age.
Ageless.
Yes.
But
like didn't, fine wine.
Wasn't she married to Alex, or did she just date Alex Rodriguez for a while?
Dated A-Rod, yeah.
Very disappointed we didn't get Stacy Keibler. Which
Keibler.
Makes me think we that got... maybe she was sexually harassed. Because yeah. I feel like she was the only famous WWE diva who wasn't in that match of the 2000s.
Maybe she's just too good for it. Like, once you fuck George Clooney, like, you're too good for it. Like, Dan, if I had sex with George Clooney, I wouldn't do this podcast with you anymore. Like, I'm too good for that guy. I had sex with the prettiest man in the world. The prettiest thing, the best-looking human in the world at that time. You're too good for stuff after that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like fucking a god.
But then she was also on, like, Cartoon Network. So, like, she's not above.
Well, Cartoon Network's a pretty big deal, Dan.
Which one was she on? Does that show even still exist? Paul Scheer's show?
NCISVU or whatever.
Yeah.
SD. Yeah. I don't know if it's still on. Now it's all about the Drecker.
Well, yeah, it's all Tim Heidecker.
Yeah. Which I've seen clips, and I do like the idea of that show. I've just never watched it.
I just like that it's like a very... it's like Emilio Estevez's dad playing his playing that dude's brother from West Wing, basically.
But yeah, back to the women's. I thought it was really fun. Asuka won, probably should have. I like the tease with Nikki too, similar to the Roman Reigns thing for the men's one with the Japanese versus the sports entertainer company person. You know?
I was disappointed that Bayley was like such an afterthought in that match, but yeah, they've just given up.
I thought
you
would have done
her.
More with her. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not gonna go full. I'm not gonna go full Jeff Hawkins on it. It is what it
I
is.
I always felt Bayley's ceiling was just Jim Duggan. But they haven't even done her as well. It'd
be great if she was at least Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan.
But no, she was like the two or third face female wrestler. And that's the perfect role for her. It's two or three.
Yeah, because she doesn't have to be the champion. But they don't even.
No, and she sucks as the champ. She's fun as the fun baby face who like gets beat up by the better wrestlers, but people like them. And she beats shitty people. Like Jim Duggan. Jobber to the stars, if you will, Dan.
You get that heel ready for the big guy.
Yeah.
You beat Bayley so that you can be ready to feud with Charlotte.
Yeah, but she keeps her sympathetic, so those people also hate the heel. How dare
instead,
you?
Instead, she just loses Bayley's to everybody, and then is on main event.
No, instead she's just like this special needs kid. They like, it's like Make-A-Wish child. They like to come in. Piss poor job with that. But yeah. Overall... Like I said, about as well as it could have been. I saw some people complaining. Some people were overrating it. I was kind of in the middle. I thought the commentary was really forced, though. Like, this
Stephanie
fake neoliberal.
Stephanie is so bad. I was so disappointed that she didn't inherit
it
some
was like
of
this,
Vince's
like,
commentary
it just
abilities.
It just reminded me of Hillary Clinton the whole time.
It was like if Hillary Clinton and David Crockett had a baby, it would have been Stephanie McMahon.
Yes.
Because you had the Hillary Clinton woodenness mixed with David Crockett going, look at that! Look at it!
What a maneuver.
Like, Stephanie McMahon would just go, ooh, that hurt.
Yeah, because it was so weird, because she didn't even, like, play into her personality, which is, like, the one thing that makes her a compelling TV character, I think, is, like, she's pretty good at being evil. Didn't even kind of do that. She did, like, the Hillary Clinton.
She's, ah, like said, the wow, witness. they got into a fisticuff. Like,
yeah,
Jesus.
And it's, like, feminism. But it's, like, this fake feminism, because it's, like, none of these girls are getting paid.
At all.
Yeah. So that part I didn't really like.
Like Lita apparently had to sneak wearing a Time's Up thing on her ring gear.
Yeah.
Like she had to spend all day in a t-shirt so that they wouldn't see it.
So yeah, it was commentary was awful, I thought, but you could ignore it. Like with most sports, if commentary's bothering you that much, then you probably have a bigger issue with enjoying the product because it doesn't matter. So yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Men's Rumble, though, was the best I've seen in years. Probably the best since, like, 01 to me, honestly. If you don't count 04 with you-know-who, it's probably the best I've seen in my lifetime.
Well, I'm only 5 years old, so.
Yeah, no, I think I have it over the 92, the Ric Flair Rumble. I enjoyed it.
Okay, it's not that good.
I thought it was just as good as that. But for me, for what I like, yeah, well, if I like comedy, Dan, This thing had a lot of comedy.
There's a lot really of comedy in that 1992 Royal Rumble. You should rewatch
it. Maybe there was. I don't know.
Because, like, every 5 minutes, somebody new comes into the ring and beats the shit out of Ric Flair, and then he falls face first.
But it's like that wrestling comedy, and, like, I prefer, like, Elias Sampson singing.
Oh, God. There's never been a character I cared less about than Elias Sampson.
I love Sampson. He's over.
I can't deny it. I don't get it either.
It works.
It's like Fandango to me, where I just don't understand why anybody's, like, what are we doing here?
But it works. Just to quickly go through that men's one, Nakamura wins, takes out Roman Reigns. Was there any, like, what was your favorite kind of surprise?
Ray. Ray was my favorite surprise. Yeah.
I think Ray, like, stole the, you know, Rousey's supposed to be the headline group. I think Ray was the one that got most of the wrestling or WWE fans.
Yeah, because he showed up basically looking like, what if 1997 Ray came out of a time machine?
Yeah, like, what if Ray Mysterio never aged and his knees never messed up? Because he was, like, moving, too.
Yeah.
Like, how many
got
all that extra, nines did we get?
Got
like
all that extra bulk off of him.
Yeah, but he looked ripped. It wasn't like the Ray Mysterio who's, like, bulky and wearing, like, the Cassius Ohno basketball jersey where there's, like, some fat under there.
And like the giant knee braces that are like as big as an entire baby.
Thighs. Yeah. He was really fun. Were there other Hurricane was a fun one. Like the Cena choke slam where he didn't take it. Like to me that's the difference between like WWE and the Indies. Like the Indies he would have taken it and it popped up. But WWE is just like no.
And no, you're not gonna actually choke slam John Cena.
That's stupid. But I thought it was very well done. It's very well put together, I thought, because they started you off kind of hot and fun, brought in some comedy to calm you down, then drug you back in with the intensity at the end with Nakamura and Roman Reigns, who went like, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah. But like, it reminded me a bit of the Undertaker Shawn Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Finale.
But I'd say overall, Royal Rumble was pretty good weekend for the WWE, though. Like, you really nailed it. Because I thought NXT was wonderful. Maybe had the match of the year. For North America, or at least in WWE universe, with that Gargano match, and then you have a Rumble that was just by all accounts pretty fucking awesome.
And then the New Japan thing was awesome too.
Yeah, I didn't see that, so I don't watch.
You need to because the whole feud is built. The whole thing story was built around two gay fellas getting back together.
No, Kenny Omega, he's bi, isn't he? Why does no one talk about that? Kenny Omega's.
Well, it might have something to do with his the world's biggest Kenny Omega fan, also being a bit of a homophobe. And I'll leave that at
Dave
that.
Meltzer?
I'll leave that at that.
Dave Meltzer.
I'll leave that at that.
I didn't know Melty was a homophobe.
I'll leave it at that.
Huh. Talk about that off air. But yeah, overall, pretty fun. Like I said, pretty fun weekend. For WWE, and I think the Rousey thing should be interesting. They're probably not going to get The Rock, which would make it work. And it would have worked better like 2 years ago anyway. So,
like most things really WWE for, like, do, by the time Rousey, they get around to it, it's like, well, this would have been great 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, wait, Rousey, Angle, Triple H, Stephanie?
I would buy that.
I think that's where they're going.
I don't know if they'll actually end up doing something with Kurt.
Yeah. Maybe
I'm trusting Rovert.
Maybe you throw Braun
Rovert
in there.
Rovert is saying it's Rousey Charlotte, so I'm going with Rovert.
That makes sense. I think that's more him deducing that because Charlotte's always on the media shit.
Look, it's better than anything else anybody's told me.
You probably hide her in a tag match with like because isn't that one MMA girl like one of her four horsewomen or something?
Shayna Baszler, who's
one from Takeover. Yeah,
who's great.
She's good. Yeah, she's going to be really
good. Shayna Baszler is so much better at pro wrestling than Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, well, she's better at pro wrestling than, like, most pro wrestlers. Like, she got it. She's just a big, mean lady.
She's very, she's
like,
basically doing, like, Minoru Suzuki stuff, though.
Yeah, but she's just mean. Like, a mean lady is, like, how I felt after watching her match. I was like, that's awesome.
And she'll hurt you.
Like, I don't like this lesbian. Like, another, and pissed off the conservative fans, because she could fuck your wife. She's probably a lesbian. I'd assume. I don't know, Dan. But can we Shayna Baszler lesbian? Can we look that up? Get that confirmed.
Brother, there's some things I don't need Google to tell me.
But yeah, fun weekend and another fun week in sports too.
We forgot to talk about the fucking Super Bowl because we're not watching that shit. The damn protesters.
Well, I'm watching it. Yeah, I'm watching it, but I don't want to. I would watch anything else if it was on. I guess we can talk about the big game for a second, Dan.
The big game at the end
of the
season.
Does anyone really care about this game? Does anyone care about this game?
I'm wondering what the ratings are going to be, because, look, I know they're probably all bullshitting, but there's tons of people around me where I live who are like, I ain't watching that damn protest and shit. No, stand up for the American flag. Now, I do live,
yeah,
like,
I do live
pretty close, like, to Fort Bragg, so, like, everybody's a vet here. Yeah.
But, Dan, like, even here in Atlanta, you see, like, especially, like, more, I don't say, like, radical, but more, like, leftists.
Who don't want to watch it people anyway, of color. Because, like, a Tom Brady.
Yeah, because they think the NFL is racist anyway, because how they treated Cap, because they know he was blackballed. Yeah. Like, both these sides have a bone to pick.
Like, the NFL managed to actually make everybody mad on that deal.
Yeah, so, like, I think you'll see some of that, too, where people are just like, oh, just go to church or something. You know, like.
Like, you are better off doing what the NBA did with Donald Sterling, where it's like, well, somebody's going to be mad about this, and young people are less likely to be racist, so we're just going to go with them.
Yeah. Instead, the NFL just
hedged their bets and was like, okay, we're not going to stop protests, but we're also going to punish the shit out of the guy who started it. And it's like, well, now everyone thinks you're an ass.
Now everyone's mad. And, like, no one wants to see the Patriots win again. It's like people complain about the NBA and the Warriors, but just, like, at least they're fun to watch.
What, you don't want to watch a bunch of three-yard passes?
Yeah, and then, like, one deep ball to Julian Edelman, like, eh. Like, dominant football teams just aren't as fun to watch as dominant, like, baseball or basketball teams to me. Especially, like, in the NFL, where, like, it's supposed to be parity-driven. So, and it's like the Eagles don't really have a chance, because even if they go up big, the Patriots would just come back. They came back against the better Falcons team probably last year. They can't do it to Nick Foles. Come on. So, I might start watching at halftime, though. That's my prediction for the big game.
Who's doing the halftime this year?
I have no idea.
Is it Justin Timberlake?
You're like Jay-Z? Oh, it's Justin Timberlake. That's right. Yeah, so who cares? Is he doing, like, country music now?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
He's leaning into his whiteness.
I didn't watch Lady Gaga last year, though.
Yeah, she was disappointing, too. Because it was like, it was like this just generic, America is not so bad. And it's like, eh.
Okay.
It was very, like, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, like, how unexcited are you, Dan, for, like, the three Dilly Dilly commercials that I'm sure will be, like, super epic?
Oh, Christ.
Because what, then, like, a stupid .com commercial with, like, I know there's one. I think I saw it earlier with, like, Morgan Freeman doing Missy Elliott.
Already over it.
There's one with Peter Dinklage rapping.
Can we all talk about the fact that, like, Super Bowl commercials have been shitty ever since the dot-com bubble burst, like, 15 years ago?
Yeah, like, the end was, like, the pets.com was, like, the ultimate, because it was just, like, a stupid sock puppet.
Like, and, like, everyone, the whole thing about Super Bowl commercials being funny was this one small period of time in history when a bunch of companies that were run by insane people who didn't know how to do anything suddenly had money to blow on bullshit, and so they wasted it on Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah. And then, like, because, like, I can't even think of, like, one, I'm like, that was a memorable commercial.
I mean, everybody just sits around every year waiting for the Clydesdale thing to make them cry, because for whatever reason, we're such utterly broken people.
Because we're children. We like the sock puppets, and we cry when we see, like, ponies.
They got a dog and a horse in the same thing together.
Unity. Yeah. And then they wouldn't let the veterans group do their stupid thing. So that also pissed off conservative fans. So this thing's going to be a disaster. I think, like, they're going to get the ratings back, and it's going to be like...
Well, like, there's some, like, wackadoo conservative groups every year, like, apply to do a commercial that, like, you know... Adopt otherwise.
Yeah, one,
like, if you don't adopt yeah. 9 babies, then basically you're responsible for abortion.
Yeah, they're gonna do, like, a commercial where it's just, like, a full on abortion just shown.
And then
NFL's like, no, we're not doing that.
And then they no, and then every year when that gets turned down, they're like, the liberal media won't let us tell the truth about abortion.
Won't let us show a partial birth aborted fetus on TV. It's like, no one wants to see that. Like, why do you think no one wants to hang around you, like, or even listen to your points? Because the first thing you do is show me a picture of, like, a fetus with, like, a head, you know, where the arm should be or something weird. Just abortion people are weird. Like, on both sides, though. Like, also, like, women are like, I'm proud of my abortion. Like, I don't care.
Like, that's weird.
Hey. Yeah, like, that's, I don't know, I'm not a woman, I'm not here to judge, but, like, okay, that's, so I don't have to pay for another kid on welfare. Okay, good. I don't know why you're proud of that. So I don't know. The whole that's why my official stance on abortion, Dan, is like, I'm not a dude. I don't care. I mean, I'm not a chick.
I'm a dude. I'm genderless.
I'm just a dude. Why do I care about abortion? It doesn't affect me at all. What do I do? I'm not going to spend any moments thinking about it. And I certainly don't want to see commercials about it. Or any political commercials during the football game. You know? I don't even want to see the American flag.
I don't want to see any flags. I go with the at-Fox-Morrissey theory of all flags are bad. Don't show any of them to me.
No flags. And that would have... Next, NFL. We didn't talk about this last week, so we'll talk about it before we get out of here, Dan. XFL 2020. Is this league ever going to really happen, or is this just like a weird money scam?
I
think this is a money scam, but I'm not sure how. But I think there's carny tricks going on here.
Something's up. This does not sound real. This does not sound like a thing that anybody's put more than 20 minutes of thought into.
No one would ever launch 2 years after an out. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. That's just not what you would do in this climate.
Like, why would
you have something be successful?
Or, like, why would you call a press conference to announce in 2 years? You would just, like, start doing it, and then once you get close, do the press conference.
Yeah. And, like, especially, like, a league that's very reactionary to what's going on in NFL right now.
We're not going to have any protests. Well, when are you going to play? 85 years from now.
Yeah. But it's like, in 2 years, no one's going to give a shit about these protests, you know? It's just, it'll be over. They'll probably write some. They'll probably do what the NBA did.
Well, nobody's going to give a shit about them because, in other news, Fox just gave a bajillion dollars to the NFL to have the Thursday night games. So all this Fox News talk about the NFL being bad is going to stop now.
Yeah. And who do you think is getting the call in that game, Dan? I want to talk about that. That's, to me, a little more
It's probably not going to be Joe
Buck. It's not Troy. It's not. I heard Joe and Troy are not going to do it. So I think Gus Johnson.
He's still with Fox.
He does. I know he's been doing college. Like, why wouldn't you just have him do Thursday night games?
Well, wouldn't you want to pick your second string Fox guy or else that guy would get furious?
Well, but I would just – Gus is your second most popular voice. Who's your second string Fox guy anyway?
Isn't it Kevin Harlan?
Kevin Harlan's on CBS. He's probably already doing the Westwood radio broadcast, and that's – as our former colleague West Coast West will tell you, that's where the action's at, is West Coast – I mean, Westwood One Radio.
On Westwood One. That used to be Boomer Esiason on that, wasn't it?
Yeah, Boomer – I think Boomer – No, it's like Kurt Warner hosts the halftime.
Yeah, but
show.
Now I think it used to be Boomer.
It used to be Boomer.
Booth.
Yeah, and it's like Morton Steakhouse. I think does the sponsor. Like if you get their player of the game, you get like a gift certificate to Morton Steakhouse,
which is really what you want as an NFL player.
NFL player, it's like a $300 gift card. It's like this is what I spend on like half a meal.
This is basically to cover my booze.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Westwood One radio network, Dan. I will say this year I tended to listen to more Sunday night football games than watch. Because Kevin Harlan, and the games were usually boring, but Kevin Harlan's just way more pleasant to listen to than like 88-year-old Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth.
God, Al Michaels can go get fucked by a bunch
of
hammers.
I think this means too, we might be done with Al Michaels in the NFL because I think Tirico is probably going to take that mantle sooner than later. Probably going to be sooner now that he can't do Thursday night because Fox got that baby exclusively.
From your lips to God's ears, if I never have to listen to Al Michaels brag about getting to hang out with the owner of the team, I will be overdrilled.
And then you'll get to listen to Mike Tirico, a guy who sexually assaulted a PA in the early 90s when he was at ESPN. There you go, Dan. Good guy.
Excellent guy.
Good guy. So you got that. And we'll have our boy Jim Nance and Romo on CBS still, though. Our fixture. Mr. Burnt Toast and Mr. Romo.
Well, they'll never leave us.
No. I wish it would be just Kevin Harlan. Like, the dream is Kevin Harlan, Romo, like Gus Johnson and anyone else for Fox, and then, I guess, Tirico and NBC. With, like, Dan Patrick in there for some reason. I'd like to see that.
That's our thoughts on the Super Bowl. Ever-changing. The Patriots are obviously going to win. Why are we even bothering?
Who cares? I wish there was a basketball game on. Yeah. I wish, like, the NBA just would have said, fuck it. Here's Warriors-Cavs during the Super Bowl. And Maybe they get like 2 million people. And it's like, well, it's worth it. So I really don't want to watch this game. I'm like just not excited at all. Maybe it's just because my team was in it last year we lost, and we're going to hear a lot about it probably. Or it's just, how can you really care with a team as bad as the Eagles might be in this game?
But, oh, man, if they win, that would be real fun.
Yeah, it would be real fun. And maybe it'll end Brady. Maybe if they knock out Brady for the rest of his career, it's all worth it, though, I think.
That'd be fun, too.
So that's something to root for.
Sure.
Tom Brady taking a big hit to the head.
A debilitating injury to a man with a family.
Yeah, a father. Yeah, a father of two. Before we get out of here, what was up with that interview thing? Did you see that controversy?
Boston has the most toxic and shitty radio.
No, Boston and Philly seem to have the worst sports. Like
Give me Philly over Boston any day. Any day.
Philly's got one guy who's like really racist or something. Like, did they have the guy call
it's
in as
radio.
A black person?
Dude, it's radio.
Yeah.
Every town in America, all their radio is super racist.
That's true. We even have in Atlanta, we have the black station and the station for old white guys.
Sure.
I'm assuming the old white guy station is a little more racist. I don't listen to it. But yeah, what was it though? Like he insulted Tom Brady.
Yeah, he said his daughter was an annoying little piss ant, and she's like five.
While on the phone with him?
Not while he was on the phone with her. But like it was on Radio Row,
like,
and like it got back to Brady. See, Brady does like a weekly thing with that radio station. He was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Yeah, Brady does a similar thing for Westwood One, where he'll break down the game.
It's like, wait, I do work with you people. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's.
And it's like, I'm Tom Brady. I'm the greatest NFL quarterback. I'm the greatest Patriot ever.
And it's not even just that. It's like, Jesus Christ, I have a 5-year-old kid. Like, I don't like Tom Brady, but Christ, like, that's a 5-year-old.
Yeah, you don't fuck with Tom Brady's kid. Like, you didn't even, like, go after his wife, who, like, you went after a child.
With Jesus.
But. Well, but Dan, you know, people, I bet that guy was Catholic, and we know about Catholics and their love
and look,
of children.
And look, I mean, what if she really is an annoying little piss ant?
Yeah, well, then she's a 5-year-old. every 5-year-old's annoying. Like,
you can always tell who's like, either had kids or been around kids by people who are
like I work
a
job.
Oh, this kid is so annoying. It's like, okay, it's a kid.
They all are. Like, Dan, I work a job where, like, every Friday I'm just surrounded by children. It's awful. They're just running around. You're trying to carry food. They're running in front of you. But
why haven't your parents raised you better? I mean, they're kids.
Yeah, it's just like, and I probably did the same shit as a kid. Like, or kids. Like, what parent can keep that under control without, like, chaining them down like that family in California or whatever?
Or those weirdos. Like, I don't know if they still have these.
Did you see that story?
I have. Have you seen – do you remember those things that, like – they had them when we were kids, and, like, parents would have them, and it was, like, a leash for your kid.
Yes. That needs to come back. Big fan of the leash. I saw an adult, before we get out of here, Dan, I saw an adult who, when I was working at a bar, this old man came in, and he had, like, a 20-year-old girl in a leash with him.
Okay, that's a sex
and they
thing.
They looked really drugged out. It was weird.
That's a sex
thing. We thought about calling the cops, yeah. She could have also been, like, 16. But I found out later that some of my coworkers knew her. And apparently she, like, got fired for stealing from a restaurant or something like that. And they just never saw her again. Until she was hiding from the cops in their parking lot when, like, her boyfriend robbed the Publix across the street or something.
Always the Publix.
Always the Publix. But, yeah, I think we went a power hour and a half this week, Dan. So we went all in with our Super Bowl.
Comprehensive.
Yeah, I think last year we actually devoted a lot of time to the Super Bowl. This year we don't. Don't know why. It's not like one of the hosts is biased towards the team that was in it last year. But that's it for me, Dan. So unless you have anything else.
I'm dead. So.
Yeah.
And on that note.
So fuck the queen.
Fuck the queen. And play the music, Jason.